Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the Vatican that is currently the subject of unprecedented and uncritical media attention in what amounts to a public relations bonanza for a scandal-plagued church, as the world press breathlessly focuses on what color smoke is coming out of a chimney. Barbara Crissett, who covers the United Nations for The Nation and was the New York Times bureau chief at the UN, joins us to discuss what the Vatican is up to at the UN, joining with Iran and Russia to thwart efforts by the Commission on the Status of Women to protect women from violence and rape, arguing that traditional values justify violations of basic human rights. Then we look into two important confirmation hearings before the Senate Banking Committee today on Richard Cordray to head up the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and Mary Jo White to head up the SEC. Lisa Gilbert, the director of Public Citizens Congress Watch Division, joins us to discuss today's hearings, where Senator Elizabeth Warren blasted her Republican colleagues for doing the bidding of big banks at the expense of regular people who have been cheated on mortgages, credit cards, and student loans. Then finally, we'll speak with Dr. Gary Bennett, a professor of psychology, global health and medicine at Duke University, about Mayor Bloomberg's ban on big sugary drinks set to go into effect in New York today that was blocked by a judge. We'll look into whether this is a victory for big business over big government and whether efforts to curtail the epidemic of obesity have been damaged by an apparent victory in the name of personal freedom of corporate profits over people's health. Joining us now is Barbara Crissett, who is a writer on international affairs and the United Nations correspondent at The Nation magazine and author of several books on Asia. She was the New York Times' chief correspondent in Southeast Asia and South Asia from 1984 to 1991, and later the Times bureau chief at the United Nations. In 2010 and 2011, Ms. Crissett reported and wrote the State of World Population Report for the United Nations Population Fund, the first focused on women in post-conflict areas and the second on the world at 7 billion. She has an article at thenation.com, at the UN, 20 years of backlash to women's rights are human rights. Welcome to Background Briefing, Barbara Crissett.
Thank you.
And the UN's Commission on the Status of Women seems to have been stalled now, and the final communique may not happen, and fingers are being pointed at the Vatican, Iran, and Russia for trying to essentially, in the name of traditions, essentially, justify violations of human rights in the name of traditional values. So, is that what's going on?
Well, it's partly what's going on, and I've just looked at the latest NGO reports today because they're watching this obviously very carefully. Women's advocacy groups, all sorts of other people, and some governments. It's in Africa that there seems to be some resistance on the question of tradition and culture, most clearly. But also, Africa has now joined this sort of front that the countries you mentioned, Russia, Iran, there's some smaller countries, Bangladesh and others, that have been in and out and involved in this, and some other countries from the Middle East, Saudis, I think you mentioned. But anyway, there are two issues. It's the culture and tradition, but this other issue, which is now kind of bubbling up to the surface, is the question of whether or not this document, this communique that you, as you describe, when it's supposed to come out at the end of this week, but it's not looking good at the moment, whether it mentions that the Security Council resolutions, a pile of them now, starting in 2000, have demanded that countries treat women better in conflict areas. That, as you know, rape is a huge problem in internal conflicts, civil wars, and so on. And in the post-conflict period, women get denied places at the peace table. They are going to have to rebuild the societies. Many of the men are often killed, and they are simply sidelined or completely ignored. So it's these two things coming together, and that is kind of making a very unholy alliance. I know this is a longer explanation than you need, but it's the kind of thing that happens at the UN, completely ignoring the huge problems women face around the world.
But how can you ignore the fact that there is a global epidemic of gender-based violence. The World Bank reports estimates that more women between the ages of 15 and 44 are at risk of rape and domestic violence than from cancer, car accidents, war, and malaria combined, and that more than 600 million women live in countries where domestic violence is not considered a crime.
Correct. And, you know, the hypocrisy in much of this is that when the great conferences on women in the 1990s, particularly the population conference in Cairo, which said women should have control over their own bodies, states should not set population quotas, there should be no forced abortions and things like that, but there should also not be any pressure on women in making up their own minds. If they want to have six or seven children and they can afford it, fine. That was population in Cairo, and also in there was implicit that people had the right to safe abortions, which the UN Population Fund supports. And then the Conference on Women in Beijing in 1995, which really reinforced and strengthened all these human rights, women's rights or human rights ideas, these are now what are basically under attack, and a lot of countries signed on to these, or you know, agreed to these agreements in 1994 and 1995, and then suddenly the backlash started when everybody realized what they had signed up to, and it's been a downhill struggle ever since.
But Barbara Crosette, what I don't understand is, particularly at this moment where the Vatican, as I mentioned in the opening, is getting extraordinary free press. It's a public relations bonanza. The entire, you cannot turn on television without hours of coverage of people standing there with clerical collars in St. Peter's Square, speculating about what kind of smoke's going to come out of a chimney. And it goes on and on and on. And we know that the 115 cardinals, all of them have been chosen by either this pope or his predecessor. So they're all arch-conservatives. There is no story here about what's happening, except that we're going to have business as usual and an incredibly conservative pope. Yet it is being treated like a great cliffhanger. And it's breathtaking, at the sort of breathless nature of the concentration on unbelievable trivia. But that is what we have, and here we are talking about something that nobody's talking about, and that is what the Vatican's doing at the United Nations, where it has a seat, and how so often it is in joining forces with the most reactionary regimes, in particular, in this case, Iran and Russia, but also in prior cases, Saudi Arabia and other countries, where it has common cause with these dark regimes. So I don't understand why this connection's not being made to about what's happening in Rome, picking a new pope, and what the Vatican really stands for in front of the world body.
You're absolutely right. I mean, there's no, even in this hyped coverage tonight. I heard the ABC anchor say the whole world is watching. You know, if I were an editor at this point, I'd send a reporter across town to the other side of Rome to a cafe and see how many people are talking about this. My suspicion is that the people who are watching are the TV people. It's also American provincialism. To a degree that he sees on a story and make it a historic moment, they're calling it. No effort to remind the viewers and the readers of the swamp of scandals that these cardinals have waded through to get here. And the kind of things that almost every one of them has some kind of a problem in his background. This is all forgotten. I mean, the best newspapers have obviously reported on the background of these people, but it's astonishing how the whole world kind of the whole world's media, or at least American media, and as I was telling you earlier when we were talking, even the BBC outdid itself this morning with fawning coverage of what was going on in the Vatican. You know, in a way, you can see that if we're getting back to the issue of women's rights and violence against women, the cardinals, in many ways, have more in common with the mullahs and the imams who are anti-women than they do with the women who are in the Catholic Church.
Well, I've spoken to Sister Simone Campbell and others, and they would agree with you. They don't say it, but they basically are being harassed, and by this particular pope, the one that just resigned, who felt that they were preaching radical feminism instead of being opposed to abortion and sticking to the church doctrine. So there is a war within the Catholic Church against women and the ordination of women too. But this is what's going on at the UN, though, is I think escaping a lot of people's scrutiny. And you know what a country does at the UN is it reflects what that country stands for. That's what it's about. It's about representing, and for reasons which I don't think we need to get into, the Vatican has a seat. So I think it's worth noting what the Vatican stands for in front of the world body.
Yes, but we come back to the American media. By the time I left the UN job in 2001, 2002.
New York Times, you mean?
Yeah, for being the bureau chief at the UN, the percentage of media organizations in the U.S. had dwindled to close to zero who were keeping their correspondence there. The American media is not interested in the UN and doesn't cover the UN for the most part. It's a distressing thing because that means that no one ever hears the kind of things that are going on. I mean, some of the incredible people who have been gathered in New York, the Commission on the Status of Women, which is meeting, has been meeting since 1946. It's an annual commission that's supposed to set policy on women. This year, the issue is violence against women for the reasons you mentioned. The data isn't even complete, but what people know is pretty awful. So, but nobody is covering this. From the major media organizations, most of the information is coming from NGOs and others who get scraps of information, and occasional pieces put out by missions or some governments. You know, are much more plugged into this and making more of it, and there's more coverage probably in the Nordic countries, maybe the Netherlands and places like that. But it's what Americans don't know about, they don't know what to think about. And that's been the problem with lots of things in the UN, including how we got into a war in Iraq.
What is not being reported, and I know you spend a lot of time at the United Nations, is who's lobbying there. I mean, not just the idea that the Vatican and Iran and Russia are working together against women's rights in the name of arguing that traditional values justify violations of human rights. You have apparently roaming the corridors. You've got these zealous people you're showing pictures of aborted fetuses and this kind of stuff. Tell me about some of these groups. Like Austin Roos of the Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute. I mean, in other words, it seems to me that there's an awful lot of lobbying going on there that escapes the attention of most people, and it doesn't really represent the broader swath of American public opinion.
No, it doesn't. There are many NGOs, of course, who do, and they're from all over the world. But the Catholic, they call themselves CFAM, you know, the Catholics and Human Rights, Catholic Family and Human Rights Institute, is very conservative. And they and some various evangelical Protestant sects and other people have focused almost entirely on abortion, but there are other issues. They're against lesbian and gay and other rights for LGBT people, BT people. They are they're against, obviously, gay marriage. They're against a lot of other things. They think that, you know, a huge conspiracy of feminists and others are out to change the way families are defined, which is an issue here, as you know. But this focus on abortion has allowed them to, you know, pick up support in other places, and you know they're quite good. In 2000, a woman who's a researcher at a university in Canada wrote a very good report on these. This was when the backlash was, you know, you could feel the wave rising against the 1994-95 conferences about, you know, parsing these crowds and seeing who they were and where they're coming from. And you know, she said there are lots of American fundamentalists in this. But also, several years ago, I did an article for a magazine on Eastern Europe, on Poland in particular, for Conscience magazine. And you could see there that there were also very much in line, these conservative Catholics were very much in line with the kind of thing that CFAM is doing. And in Poland, they had all heard of CFAM. And that is the conservative Catholics. And this was a reaction against communism. In other words, you know, there was a lot of context here, which again, you know, is not reported so much. And so a lot of people don't really understand that this issue is bigger than just whether or not abortion is legal. And also why the UN stands behind safe abortion, and because lots of people are dying in the third world of botched abortions. And so, I mean, this is supposed to be a development issue, but they won't allow that to happen. This lobby wants to keep it as some sort of high moral tone issue. And as you suggested earlier, to do this in the face of the gathering of cardinals, some of whom come from, you know, areas where there have been huge abuses of boys, women, men, and everybody else, is beyond belief.
But how do they, the Vatican, for example, I understand Iran, Saudi Arabia, Russia's role in this is a little bit hard to follow, but how do the Vatican justify not wanting to protect women from violence and rape?
Entirely. I mean, you know, I'm obviously not in that on that wavelength, but as I have read it and see it and hear about it, it's entirely on what is right and wrong. It's moral. It's their perception of moral grounds, and it's their belief, and that's fine. And they're entitled to their beliefs, but being entitled to that belief doesn't necessarily mean shooting doctors who perform abortion, cutting off all aid to developing countries where abortions are performed in order to save lives, because there isn't enough contraception, which also many of these groups have fought against the U.S. supplying through U.S. aid. And so, you know, it's an issue in their hearts and heads, but it's an issue that doesn't reflect the real world, and the real world doesn't have the luxury of some of these beliefs, you know, in the way that these people feel that if they believe this, that then therefore their view of the world should be the view of the world. I should add that the Catholic Bishops Conference in Washington is another interesting group to watch, because Catholics have, as you can tell from news reports, weighed in on the provision of contraception in the new universal health care, or not quite universal, but right, the president's health care plan. So, you know, they're busy from the hierarchy down to the protest groups like CFAM, lining up against things they don't believe in, which is fair enough, except that not everybody else should have to follow those rules.
Well, Barbara Cassette, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Barbara Cassette, who is a writer on international affairs and the United Nations correspondent at The Nation magazine and author of several books on Asia. She was the New York Times chief correspondent in Southeast Asia and South Asia, and later the Times bureau chief at the United Nations. She also reported and wrote the State of World Population Reports for the United Nations Population Fund, the first focused on women in post-conflict areas and the second on the world at 7 billion. She has an article at thenation.com at the UN, 20 years of backlash to women's rights are human rights. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about today's hearings before the Senate Banking Committee, where Senator Warren really blasted her Republican colleagues.